We are continuing our study of the Beatitudes. We've come to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we must ask ourselves, what does it mean to be pure in heart? What does it mean to be pure in heart? I'm waiting for my lady back there. You stay ahead of me back there, Miss Ruth. I'm already on number 2. All right? Thank you. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Well, it comes from the Greek word katharai. If you study how a word is used in the Old Testament, it's the best way to understand how it's used in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, this same word in the Greek version called the Septuagint in the Old Testament is used for pure gold. You know, they overlaid the Holy of Holies with pure gold. They made the lid of the Ark of the Covenant out of pure gold. They made all the serving bowls and utensils and lampstands out of pure gold. 24 karat gold. So the idea of pure means no mixture, no alloys. 24 karat gold means there's not a single other alloy. It's all gold. No other parts. It's also used for the word clean in the Old Testament. There were clean and unclean animals. And a person could be either ceremonially clean or ceremonially unclean. If he had touched something dead or someone had died in their house or something else had happened, a person could be unclean for a period of time. And if anyone was ceremonially unclean for any particular time, you realize he could not even approach the tabernacle. You couldn't come near. If an unclean person approached the temple of God, the Lord and the law of the Lord said that person would defile the temple. Instead of you would think that the temple would make that person clean. Just the opposite. The unclean person would make the temple unclean. So they were forbidden until they went through the ritual of cleansing. They had to kind of live in a temporary separation. They had to go outside the camp, outside of their family until they became ceremonially clean, and then they could re-enter the camp. How important is this? In Psalms 24, having a clean heart. This is what David said in Psalms 24. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That's why in Psalms 51, David knew that he had become unclean through what he had done with Bathsheba. So in Psalms 51, David says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Then he prayed this prayer most of us know. Create in me a clean heart. Same word as for the pure in heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And notice that this cleanliness or this purity is of the heart. You know it's possible for a person to be very religious with an unclean heart. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of his day, in Matthew 25, and he said this, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. And sadly, that describes a lot of people who are in ministry today. Outwardly very religious, but inside full of self-indulgence and extortion. Blind Pharisee, Jesus said, first cleanse the inside of the cup, and then the outside of the cup will be clean also. This matter of having a clean heart is not so simple as we might think. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 say this. that some of your versions, most of your versions, because they're based upon the Hebrew manuscripts, would say this, that the heart is deceitful or desperately wicked above all things. And who can know it? Who can know it? But I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I like the Greek version, the Septuagint in the Old Testament, because it uses the Greek word bathos. And that's where we get the English word a bathysphere. A bathysphere is that vessel that can go deep, deep, deep in the ocean. So in the Greek version, it's saying the heart is deep. The Spanish word would be profundo. When you have a very deep hole, you know the only way you can see the bottom is if you take a light and you shine it directly. Any light at any angle will only go so far into the hole. It takes a light directly shining straight down to the bottom for you to even see what's in the bottom. And our heart is like that. It's deep. We can think there's nothing there, but it's not easy to see it unless God shows it to us. That's why he says he has to search it. He can see what the things in our heart that we can't see. So how can we be sure then that our own heart is pure? Well, if we enter into the new covenant, if you have come to Christ by faith and you are entering into the new covenant as a Christian, this is God's promise to those who enter into his new covenant. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. That's how we can be sure. When God gives us cleanliness, when he cleanses us from the things he knows is in our hearts, we're going to be clean. He is able to do this, and only he is really able to do this. And this is part of the process. You are familiar with this. Tom quoted this verse just a few minutes ago in his scripture reading in the first chapter of 1 John. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. There's this word. That's the verb form of the word pure. Katharizo means to cleanse. He cleanses us from all sin. But notice, if what? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He goes on, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. There's that word again, to purify us from. Same word, katharizo. He is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So let's understand that this cleansing of the heart is twofold. God is the one who will do it, but we must be the ones who pursue it. We have to seek this cleansing from God. We dare not trust our own heart. We dare not trust that we've got this down, we're okay, just because we don't think we're doing something wrong. Remember, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to the man, but the end thereof are death. So let's don't trust ourselves. Let's seek God. God will purify, cleanse us if we seek it. It's a twofold process. The process of cleansing is a cooperation. We must cooperate with God to experience this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 7 says this, therefore, in light of such wonderful promises, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. What happens if you touch what is unclean? You become unclean. That's what the Bible says. If you touch something unclean, you become unclean. So the Lord says, do not touch. Touch nothing unclean. And I will receive you. Do you see what he's saying? So what if right now, what if you're touching things that are unclean? Will the Lord receive you?
No.
Pay attention to that. Don't believe that just because you are a Christian, you shall be received. The scripture says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm touching something unclean, the Lord will not receive me. But if we touch no unclean thing, we're coming to Him for cleanliness. We can count on Him. It says, do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, Paul goes on to say this, therefore, having these promises that God will be our Father, wow, and that we can be the children of God, that having that promise, what should our response be? Therefore, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Are you glad that God is your Father? You're glad to be a child of God? Well, if you have that realization ought to make you actively pursuant of cleansing ourselves from everything that contaminates our body or our spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's the proper response to the promise of God being willing to be our Father and the privilege we have of being His children. Wow. You know what coming out means? It says, come out from among them and be separate. It says, the Lord, touch no unclean thing and I'll receive you. Do you realize the word come out is the very foundation of the word church? Kaleo is the word to call. The word for church is ek. Out, kaleo, those who are called out. What are we called out of? You might have an idea. What are we called out of?
The world.
The world. We're called out of sin. He's right. We're called. Look, we've served the devil long enough. Get out of there. We've lived like the rest of the world long enough. Come out of there. Be separate. Be different. We want the Lord to receive us. The very definition of church is those who have been called out to assemble together. That's what we're doing here this morning. And Jesus, back one up, Ruth, for me. Jesus cleanses His church. He will cleanse His church by the washing of the water of the Word, because His church is His bride. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, every one of us know, every single person here knows this. On a wedding day, how would you feel if some bride came traipsing down the aisle in something she just grabbed out of the closet and threw on? We all know that on that day and that dress gets such special attention. There's not a spot. There's not a wrinkle. They have gone over that dress over and over because that lady wants to look stunningly beautiful. And if you're a believer and you're expecting to see Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, someday, that should be our attitude on how we want to look when we stand before Him. We know what that is. We count a normal wedding that special. how much more the wedding day when we stand before Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be His forever. We don't want to be dirty. We don't want to be careless about that. We want to be very serious about being clean, being pure. That's just natural. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, about being the church. About being the church. Flee, he's telling Timothy, his son in the faith, flee also youthful lust. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Look at this. Along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Can I suggest something to you? You got friends? Friends? Are they calling on the Lord out of a pure heart? If not, you got the wrong friends. You're with the wrong people. Because you know what's going to happen? The scripture says bad company corrupts good morals. He who walks with the wise becomes wise. But a companion of fools comes to ruin. You see, even Timothy, a servant who's serving God along with Paul. Paul's telling Timothy, Timothy, pursue those who are calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. Doesn't that tell you something? Not everyone is calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know why some people call on the Lord? Because they want to get their stinking, corrupt body into heaven anyway, even though they're unfaithful. Who wants to go to hell? You think you're going to be here in church, God will recognize you and you'll be there? Oh yeah, I see you were there every Sunday. But if you live like the devil the rest of the week, he's going to send you to hell as fast as anyone else. Right. He's no respecter of persons. Those who know him know he's holy. Those who know him know he loves righteousness and he hates lawlessness. He wants his name to be great. And I honestly, why don't we get this? It would be better if we're not serious about living a clean and holy life. It would be better to deny we even know him. Because if you say you know him and you claim to be a son or daughter and you live that way, you're dragging his name in the mud. And your judgment will be worse than the people who didn't even claim to know him. They don't claim to be Christians. Let them do what they do. It's none of our business to judge the world. They do what they do. They don't claim to be a son of God. But if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a follower of Christ, then it behooves you to honor the name you claim to be a member of the family. Amen. Cleanliness is what God desired. Blessed are those with a clean heart. They shall see God. You know why a lot of people say, I can't see it. I look in the scripture. I can't see it. I tried to read the Bible. I can't get anything out of it. I pray. Nothing happens. Oh, you're not seeing God? Maybe you need a clean heart. Maybe it's not clean. Maybe that's why you can't see. It's a question. All right, we're almost done. Revelation chapter 9. I love this verse. It's about the church. It's what the church will look like eventually. You know what it may take for the church to look like this in America? It may take some good old-fashioned, serious persecution where it costs you to be a Christian. Where you can't just say you're a Christian. It's already kind of getting that way, you know? Because if you believe the Bible, do you realize if you believe the Bible, you're a bigot? If you believe the Bible, you're judgmental. If you believe the Bible, you are intolerant. You know, it's like, I don't have a judgment. If the Bible says, if the Bible gives an opinion about certain things, I'm just a paper boy, right? I'm not the editor. We don't write it. So if I repeat, you know what? Someone came to the food ministry yesterday. I could have an opinion. I think I read the person right. Actually, it was a couple. I think I read the couple right. I had a chance to speak to one of the couple. And the person said, Yeah, Paul was a mean man. He was full of hatred. I've read 1 Corinthians. He was abusive. That was his opinion about the Apostle Paul. How many know what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is about? What do we call it?
Love.
The love chapter. And this man was confident in his opinion about the Apostle Paul. I didn't say anything. He couldn't see God. His heart, he had reasons to disagree with the Apostle Paul. And you know what those reasons had to do with chapters 5 and 6. I knew exactly why he thought Paul was mean. Because Paul told the church there was a man living with his father's wife. And Paul told the church, kick the man out. That sounded mean to this guy. But Paul knew we bear the name. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. You can get there. It's not in my notes. You get this for free. I won't charge you extra. Paul said this, that if a person names the name and is a drunkard, fornicator, swindler, violent, abusive person, with such a man, do not even eat. Don't allow the name of Christ to be associated with those who don't live a clean life. People don't understand that. People, that sounds mean to people. But listen, if I stepped all over your mom or your dad, if I began to dishonor them and misrepresent who they were, you'd be in my face pretty fast. And yet, look what we do to the name of our God. It's a shame that if our conduct brings reproach on the name of our Heavenly Father, shame on us. If I told lies about your father or your mother and that made her look bad, you'd have a right to be angry and to confront me. Well, listen, I see a believer bringing disrespect and dishonor to the name of Christ. I am angry. And I'm trying, so I try to deal with it gently. And sometimes you can tell it's been boiling in there, can't you? Sorry about that. No, not really. I'm not really sorry about that. You know that it says, the scripture says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I think if we hated evil a little bit more, we'd keep a little bit more distance from it, don't you? I think so. Anyway, let's go to this Revelation 9:18. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. Oh, I look forward to that. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean. There's the word. Clean. In other words, there's not a single bit of material but linen. It's pure linen. It's no mixture, no polyester. It is all linen. Bright for the fine linen. Look what the fine linen is. It's the righteous acts of the saints. We'd like the fine linen to be the righteous doctrines of the saints. We'd like to believe we get fine linen for just believing the right things. But this fine linen is for doing the right things. I love that. You know, because actions speak louder than words. That's, of course. And when the saints do what is right, their testimony is beautiful. And they look like they're supposed to. All right. Two last things. What if your heart is not pure now? What if there's some things in there that don't need to be there? Okay? Don't despair. There's hope. God wants to cleanse our hearts. That's why He sent His Son. He will help us out. Okay? And there's some instructions given if we are in a state where our heart is not clean. Listen to these instructions given by James in chapter 4 of James. Therefore, submit to God. First thing, submit to God. In other words, it can mean one thing. You can't just do what you think. Okay? That's the reason our hearts are unclean, because we do what we think. First thing we have to do is be willing to submit to God. And ultimately that means if God has said it and you think differently, who wins? Okay, got it? Isn't that simple? You have an idea and the scripture says something. What does submitting God look like? What He says wins. Simple. You do what He says and you put your own thoughts aside. Very simple. That's submitting, first of all, submit to God. And then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, what's the devil? You know, it's interesting. You know, the devil can be one of our best friends. You realize that? This is one of those things you may not realize how you need to resist the devil. Because when a person starts to get serious with God, the devil changes his tactics. You know what he does? Ah, you're okay. It's okay, man. Don't get too worked up. God loves you. It's all under the blood. It's all good. God's so good, He doesn't judge anybody. The devil turns into an angel of light. As soon as someone tries to draw near God, he changes his strategy and makes it all good. Got to resist that. Okay? There's some clinging that needs to be done. I think most husbands are glad when the wife wants to do spring cleaning. Unless they ask him to help, then it's different. We are to draw near to God. Okay. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. And what will he do? He'll draw near to you. Okay. He's coming to help. Cleanse your hands. There's this cooperation. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. You know what? There are things. What is it saying? Be sorry about what you should be sorry about. Maybe you've been too easy on yourself for some of the things we've allowed to go on. Godly sorrow is a gift. We need to spend some time sorry about some things. It's good for us. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Because God resists the proud, right? And He gives grace to the humble. Last slide. Here's the thought. Wow. Do you realize that God has declared that He will not cleanse everyone? When Moses wanted to see the glory of God in Exodus chapter 33, when he was going up to the mountain for the second time, after the first set of Ten Commandments had been broken, and after that situation had been set in order, Moses is going back up the mountain another 40 days. And on the way, before he goes, he tells the Lord, I want to see your glory. You keep telling me I found favor with you, but I want to see your glory. And so the Lord says, okay, I can't let you look at my face because no one can see me and live, but I will put you in a cleft of the rock and I'll cover with you with my hand and I'll pass by in front of you. And as I pass by in front, I will declare my name. And so this happened. Moses is on the mountain. God comes, draws near Moses. And God covers Moses with his hand and starts to pass in front of him. And as he passes by, this is what the Lord declares of himself. This is what the Lord declares. And the Lord God, compassionate, merciful, long-suffering, full of mercy and truth, keeping righteousness and doing mercy unto thousands, removing lawlessness and unrighteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Because that's what He wants to do. He wants to be known as the compassionate, merciful, long-suffering, full of mercy and truth. That's what gives us hope. That's what gives us hope. He delights to be merciful, and yet He does not leave it there. Look at this. He removes lawlessness and unrighteousness, and yet the libel He will not cleanse. What does that mean? What does it mean, the libel? What does it mean to be liable? You know what it means to make yourself liable? That means you continue to do something you know absolutely is wrong. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this, to be liable means this. Knowing God hates it. Knowing it's wrong. You continue to do it anyway. If that's the case, God will not cleanse you. That simple. You'll go to hell. You'll be judged. You know why you'll be judged? Because despite He wanted to cleanse you, He wanted to forgive you, instead of that cleansing and forgiveness, you loved what you were doing more than His mercy. Wow, that's serious. So we want to be cleansed. We want to be cleansed. But to be cleansed, we must confess our sins. And the word confess literally means to say the same. If God calls it wrong, confession is simply saying the same thing about it that God says. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins. And when He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, what does that leave us with? A clean heart. Then we can experience, blessed are the clean hearts ones, for they shall see God. All right? Let's stand together and sing that song. It's a prayer. Armando picked it for this devotion. It is the prayer of David. Create in me a clean heart. Stand together with me and let's sing this. And I just encourage you, respond to the Lord. If His light has shone upon something in your heart, just respond to Him so that He can cleanse it. So that's all He wants to do. He wants to cleanse it, and just respond to Him, all right?